My name's Stan. For those that don't know me, I'm part of the team around here, and today it's my privilege to get to share with you some truth from the Word of God. And I want to ask you, though, before I get to the truth from the Word of God, I want to ask you, what is your favorite TV show? What's your favorite TV show? Or what genre TV shows are your favorite? Type it in the chat if you're watching online. I hear some mumbling, some things going on there. Maybe you don't want to even tell us because you're ashamed. I don't know. But I like mindless sitcoms because my brain's engaged all the time and everything, and I like to just disengage and fall asleep when I watch TV. I wake up and I just come right back to whatever was going on. It's mindless. But if I do want to engage, I kind of like courtroom dramas. Anybody, any courtroom drama fans? Yeah, just a couple of us. Okay, we'll have a watch party one day. And I think the reason I like courtroom dramas is because when I was younger, when I was growing up, I thought when I grow up, I might want to be a lawyer. And my parents actually affirmed that, that was a good possibility because of how much I like to argue and debate. Yeah, yeah. Well, as you can see, I didn't become a lawyer, but I think some of those skills that a lawyer uses in research and presenting arguments and arguing and debating come in handy as a pastor as well. But when in a courtroom, when a witness takes the stand, they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? And I've been on jury duty before, and I've watched these courtroom dramas and things, and everyone sits there and says, yes, I'm going to tell the truth. And I am always amazed that while everyone's telling the truth, their truths are so dissimilar. They differ so widely. And I think, wow, wouldn't it be great if before a witness could take the stand, they actually had to do a course so that they could understand what truth is, right? Truth, a very simple definition is this. It's the body of real things, events, and facts. Now, that is not complicated, is it? The body of real things, events, and facts. It's reality. It's things that are factual. So I really struggle sometimes when we're talking about truth, and it seems so elusive in our world. We have access to an infinite amount of information and an overwhelming number of conspiracy theories, and there's personal and political and social agendas all over the place, and those inform what truth will look like. And over the last few years, we've adopted a term called fake news, right? And you know what fake news is? It's news that you disagree with, right? So we've got to call it fake because, well, I disagree with it, so it can't be true. Forget the body of evidence and the facts and the reality. Fake news. Last week we started a new series called Truth, The One Who Seeks Finds. And we're leading up to Easter with that series, looking at the last days of Jesus' life. Pastor Justin took us to the table last week. And if you were here, you remember the table that was up here and talked about the centrality of that. And Jesus' last meal with his disciples. And in that, Jesus revealed that there was a new covenant that would start a new community, which would be driven by a new command. If you missed out on that message from last week, go to our website, go to the YouTube channel, watch that, and take that in, because that was a great work. Thank you again for that, Pastor Justin. Today we're going to look at some interactions with Jesus and one of his closest followers. Peter was a pillar of the early church. He was a defender of truth. He was a preacher of truth, a protector of truth. But not always. We're going to look at the lowest point of Peter's life today. And in looking at Peter's life and that low point that he went through, what I'm going to equip you to be able to do today is to deny the truth. Okay? I'm going to teach you this morning how you can be certain to deny truth. Are we ready? Yeah, you're looking at me like, who are you? Where's our pastor? It's opposite day, okay? So I'm going to teach you how to deny truth, but you're smart people, so switch your brains on and engage with this, okay? Because as you see how you're going to deny truth, I think you can do the flip on that and figure out how not to deny truth, which we'll wrap up at the end. But let's get going. We're going to pick up the story where we left off last week. They finished the meal. They went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 31, "Tonight, all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." All right, the setting. This is right after Jesus has revealed at that meal, that Last Supper, he revealed Judas as the betrayer. When he said, "One of you is going to betray me," during that meal, everyone was asking, "Is it me? Am I the one? Am I the one that's going to do that?" And then when he revealed that it was Judas and Judas left the room, all of the disciples, I promise you, went, "Phew," and breathed a sigh of relief. We dodged that bullet. And now they're walking away from that meal. They've just left the building. And Jesus says, "Every one of you is going to desert me tonight." That would have been hard to hear. Luke's account of this is Matthew's account, what I just read. Luke tells us that when they were walking away from the meal, they were discussing who was the greatest among them, who was going to be the greatest in the coming kingdom, okay? Judas was a betrayer. They dodged that bullet. Now they're saying, okay, who's going to be the greatest? Is it you? Is it me? No, it's me. You know, that kind of thing. And then Jesus says, "All of you are going to desert me." Imagine how that would have felt. Because you know the conversation you've been having there in the background. So that announcement would have been disturbing. Then Peter says this, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you ever know me." Peter declares that he has the ability to be a faithful follower. Peter is arguing with Jesus. Let that sink in for just a second. Peter is actually arguing with God. They're having a conversation. And this isn't the first time Peter's done this. Matthew 16, he told Jesus actually called him Satan, told him to get behind him because Peter was arguing. Peter was always quick to argue and debate things. He said, "Even if all the others deny you, not me. I'm different." Remember the conversation they were just having? Who's going to be the greatest? I think Peter right now is thinking, here's my chance. They're going to desert, but not me. Not me. I'm different. So from this, we can learn that if we want to be deniers of truth, if you want to deny truth, embrace pride. Embrace pride. In response to Peter's claim, Jesus gave him a stronger warning. He said, "You're not only going to desert me, you're going to deny me three times tonight." Peter thought he was better, but Jesus said, no, you're not better. You're actually going to move a step further from deserting. You're going to deny me. Peter continued to argue rather than accept the truth in verse 35. "No," Peter insisted, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. Okay, we're focused on Peter here, but understand all the disciples were saying pretty much the same things in this conversation. So it's apparent to me, something jumps out to me. I don't know if you picked it up. But Jesus said, "Tonight, all of you are going to desert me." But then he had some other words after that, right? They completely overlooked that. It doesn't come up in their conversation at all. They stopped with, "You will desert me," because that was troubling for them. That was a hard truth that they didn't want to accept. What they missed was that Jesus said, "And after I rise from the dead, I'm going to meet you in Galilee." I think that would have started a whole lot more conversations between me and Jesus if I'd been there. Probably not, because I'd have been just like Peter. But wouldn't you think they would have been interested? "Ooh, what, when you rise from the dead, you're going to meet us? Where in Galilee? So we can make sure we're going to be at the time and place and all that." But they said, "No, we're not going to desert you." And they got stuck there. They couldn't get past the hard truth. And I think as kind of a side note to this message is we in society today, people who are not followers of God, and even sometimes Christians, we hear a hard truth. We hear something about God that we struggle with. or we see something in the world that God lets happen, and how could a loving God do this or allow that to happen and things like that? Anybody struggle with those kind of things? Sure we do. But we forget that this God, who is a God of judgment and he's just and he's righteous, is also a loving, merciful God who sent Jesus to die for our sins. You see, if we get hung up on the truth that's hard for us to understand, you talk about global floods and creation and all that, which, by the way, I believe in all of that. But we get hung up on those things that might be a little bit hard for our little brains to get around, and we miss the good news. We miss the impact of what is really going on. So, you want to deny truth? Start by embracing pride. Refuse to accept that you can fail. Assume that you are always the exception, okay? You can't fail. You're better than everyone else. You're stronger. You're more committed. You can't fall away from following Jesus. And you can even argue with God, okay? Just like Peter did. He's arguing with Jesus, right? By the way, remember, opposite day. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul's writing, he says this. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptation in your life is no different from what others experience. So Paul says, we're all the same. The temptations you experience and you experience and you experience, I experience, we're all the same. If we're embracing pride because we want to be deniers of the truth, then we got to say, hey, that's not me though. I'm the exception. It's not temptations that are common to all people because I'm the exception, right? That's what embracing pride will do. And if we tell ourselves that we can't be tempted, we can't fall, we don't have to worry about the rest of that passage where it says this, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Paul says God will make a way out of the temptation, but because we're embracing pride, we're not going to be tempted. So we don't even need the way out. So we're not going to look for the way out when we're tempted, right? See where this is going? Right? If we embrace pride, we don't need God to provide the ways out. The storyline continues. We come to a familiar place where Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had an agonizing time of prayer there. Here's how he described his time when he was talking to the disciples. He says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. See, Jesus asked them to watch him pray. He's telling them, I'm really struggling here. This is a hard thing that I am dealing with. I want you to watch with me. I want you to pray while I go and wrestle with God. Jesus was wrestling with the Father because it was hard. Even though he's the Son of God in human flesh, he was struggling. He was crying out for help from his mates there. And then he goes and he prays to God and he says, hey, if there's any way, please take this from me. But at the end of the day, your will, not mine. See what prayer did there for him? Verse 40 says, then he returned to the disciples, found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. This scene repeated itself 3 different times. Jesus went to pray. They went to sleep. Jesus came back and asked them to keep watching, keep praying. But notice what he told them to pray for. He says, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He didn't say, pray for me because look at me, I'm desperate. I've told you my spirit's crushed and my soul's crushed and everything. But pray that you won't enter into temptation. What can we learn from this? From Peter. If we want to be those that will deny truth, we not only need to embrace pride, we need to ignore prayer. Because prayer is a dangerous thing if we're trying to deny truth. Don't talk to God about your weaknesses if you want to deny truth, okay? I know you don't have any weaknesses if we're embracing pride, right? So why would we talk to God? Don't talk to God about your doubts and fears, okay? Just let that go. Keep those to yourself. Talk to other people about those and let it fuel those doubts and fears and make them bigger, okay, if you want to be a denier of truth. Don't pray about truths that are hard to accept. All right? If you struggle seeing that God is a God of judgment, and we see that a lot of times in the Old Testament, and we see it coming at the end times. If you struggle with that, believing that he's a God of love and grace and mercy, don't pray and ask him to help you with that. Don't ask him to help you understand. If you struggle with the fact that Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to leave mother, father, houses, and land. Give up everything else. Deny yourself and follow me. Is that a hard truth that we might struggle with? How many love someone? Your mother, father, children, grandchildren. She's so cute over there. We love people, but Jesus says, your love for me has to feel like hate to them. Is that hard to understand? If you want to deny truth, don't talk to God about that. Just let it simmer. Let it permeate inside of you. These are hard things. And if you want to deny truth, do not pray like Jesus did. Because Jesus went, and he's struggling. He's struggling with a very hard thing. He's about to die. He's going to be crucified for the sins of the world. And he's praying to God. And even said, hey, can we figure out another way here? But then he said, not my will, but yours be done. That was through prayer. So if you want to deny truth, you better be careful about prayer. Because it's going to be dangerous, and it might change you. Okay, and you might not be able to keep denying truth. So moving right along, Jesus finishes his time of prayer in the garden, and the disciples had a bit of a rest. Judas comes up to them where they're at there in the garden, kissed Jesus on the cheek. That was the signal to the soldiers that he had prearranged. Hey, the one I kiss, he's Jesus. And the soldiers arrested Jesus. I want you to look at what Peter did. Verse 51, it says, but one of the men with Jesus, John tells us this man was Peter. He daubed him in. One of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. Peter was a man of action. You know, I could put myself there in the garden. I think I probably would have been like Peter. Because I'm like, okay, I'm going to start a revolution here. You know, I'm not letting this guy come and arrest my Savior or Jesus or my master or the king or whatever he's about to become because his kingdom is being set up. So what we can learn from here, from Peter, is if we want to deny truth, let's execute our own plan. Execute your plan. You're embracing pride. You're ignoring prayer. Execute your own plan. Do not take sound bites out of this. See, God's plan was for Jesus to be arrested, beaten, die for our sins, go to the cross, raise again, so that you and I and everybody since and before could have salvation for Jesus to pay for our sins. Peter's plan was to start a revolution and have the kingdom come right then, right? Whatever that kingdom was going to look like. It was going to be a political thing. And that's what Peter said, we're going to start a fight. I'm going to fight for this. Jesus told Peter in this account, you can read it all for yourself, that, hey, Peter, if my plan was to fight, I would have called angels, thousands of them, to come and take care of business here. I don't need you chopping off some dude's ear. So Jesus actually healed the guy's ear and told Peter to put away his sword. But because Peter embraced pride and ignored prayer, he was ready to take matters into his own hands, execute his own plan. Now, you and I, if we're honest, we probably think Peter was pretty heroic in that moment, except we know the rest of the story. We think that's a great thing, but it wasn't a God thing. There are times when we need to stand up for things, and we have opportunities to do that through the government and things like that, when different things that would attack our faith and all that. There's times when we are to take action, but there are times God's using even negative things that we don't like around us to fulfill his plan. We need to understand God's plan and follow it. So Peter was struggling to accept this truth. Here's the tip. You want to deny truth? Execute your own plan. Take matters into your own hands. Do not look to God to solve your problems. Okay? You are capable. You can handle it yourself. You know that, right? Don't trust him to meet your needs. Don't behave like we can do nothing without him, as John teaches us. back to the story. Jesus is arrested. The disciples deserted like Jesus said they would. And then it says this, but Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. So Peter followed at a distance. Some people would tell you that this was Peter's decline. This is where he actually went off track because he was following at a distance and he should have been following closely. If you remember what Jesus said, tonight you're all going to desert me. You're going to be scattered. When the shepherd is stricken, the sheep are going to be scattered. And he told them in John, he said that he told the soldiers to let everyone else go when they arrested him. Peter wasn't supposed to be following at all. Jesus had said, pray that you do not enter into temptation. And Peter had followed right to a place where he was going to end up being tempted. That's how Peter got to the courtyard there. And then it says this in verse 69. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, you were one of those with Jesus the Galilean. But Peter denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Later out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. I don't even know the man, he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent. Peter swore, a curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man. And immediately, the rooster crowed. We have here the culmination of Peter's denial of truth. It had reached its pinnacle. While Peter was waiting outside, Jesus was on the inside being tried by the high priest and the council. And they had brought some false witnesses together and they were trying to pin something on him. And finally, they just asked him, hey, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? And Jesus said, yep, that's me. And that was enough. They said, you're guilty, you're blasphemous. And then they started beating him and spitting on him and mocking him and getting him ready to go to the cross. When Jesus was asked who he was, he told the truth. While that's happening, Peter's on the outside being asked who he was, giving the chance to expose his identity as a follower of Jesus. And he said, no, that's not me. He was concerned. He was comfortable. He was protecting himself. And he progressively, in that space where he was sitting with the enemy by the fire, nice and comfortable, he progressively kept denying more and more and more to the point where he called down curses on himself if he was lying. And then the rooster crowed. It says in verse 75, suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. And he went away weeping bitterly. Luke's account of this same story says, when the rooster crowed, Jesus looked at Peter. Peter and Jesus met eyes. You know, that tells me that while Peter's out there this whole time, while all this is going on, Peter could see Jesus. He could see what had been going on. And at that moment when the rooster crowed and they met eyes, it says that Peter wept bitterly. It crushed his soul. He was so distraught with himself. He couldn't even cry there. It said he had to go out to weep bitterly. From Peter's time here in the courtyard, we can learn that if we're going to deny truth, we need to hang out with people in places where truth is rejected. Okay, you want to be a denier of truth? Hang out and be influenced by people in places where truth is rejected. Go where you want to go, not where God wants you to go. Embrace the world system and structures and hang out with people that are smarter than you and smarter than me, of course, that know how all this stuff works and how the world was framed and things, because certainly what we believe is kind of a fairy tale, right? It's what they would tell us. It's what they would tell you at university. I've known so many young people who be on fire for Jesus and living for him, and they go to university and get the humanistic philosophies and everything, and it turns them. Friends, we can't avoid being in those places, but we need to be insulated when we go into them. But if you want to deny the truth, just go in, accept everything they're saying to you, and let that influence your thinking. Let that change who you are. So what do we do with all this? Clearly, I hope it's clear, my aim today was not to equip you to deny truth so that you can go away denying truth, okay? Right? Put that on repeat, right? That wasn't the plan. The plan was to help expose the things that permeate our lives, that put us on this track to being deniers of the truth. When we think about our pride, so if we want to deny truth, embrace pride, but Proverbs chapter 16 tells us pride goes before destruction and arrogance before a fall. Don't think you're the exception. Don't think you're the exception. You're not immune. Be on guard. When we ignore prayer, it's a dangerous thing because prayer changes us. When we go to God in prayer, we may go to him having our list of things we want him to do for us, right? Right? Anybody have those prayers? You got your prayer list and it's all the stuff you want him to accomplish? You can even go to God with that. And if you're serious in your prayers, in your prayer time, and you're reflecting on who he is and talking to him as he is. Thank you, Justin Marshall, for that prayer today. That was amazing. When we approach God like that, it changes us. It changes what's going on inside of us. Like Jesus, when he was praying, God, take this away, but nevertheless, your will be done. When we pray, it might change the way we're thinking. He said, execute your plan if you want to deny truth. It goes back to the pride when really, because we're very capable people, sometimes too capable. We think that we have a better plan and a better strategy. But Isaiah chapter 55 says, his plans are not our plans, nor his ways our ways. And friends, if that's true, and it is, when our plans are different than his, whose should win? His. Surrender to his. You may have a great plan, but if it's not his plan, it's not a great plan. Is it a great plan or a God plan? Let's take the God plans. And then finally, hanging out with people in places where truth is rejected. You know, I don't want you to go away thinking I don't want you hanging out with non-Christians. I want you hanging out with non-Christians. I want to hang out with non-Christians. But I want to do that humbly, not proudly. I want to do that prayerfully. And I want to do that executing God's plan, not my own, so that when I'm in those places with people where truth is rejected, I know what the truth is, and I can be an influence in those spaces, not let them turn me to a denier of truth. Friends, you may think that this has been a little bit silly today talking about how we can be a denier of truth, but Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest followers, went down this pathway. So friends, I think it'd be more silly for us to think that we are immune to that and that it's not possible that could be us. Bit of a spoiler alert. The week after Easter, we're going to pick Peter's story back up again, and we're going to see Peter restored. He came good, okay? So hang out for that. It's going to be the week after Easter. But today, you might need to make a shift in your mindset. You got a choice. You're going to end up in one of two places. As a person, you are either going to be a discoverer of truth, or you're going to be a denier of truth. Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be that person that's always cynical and skeptical and always looking for ways to say it's not true? The truths of God's word are not true. The truths about God and Jesus are not true. Truth about anything is not true. Do you always want to be that person coming up with the conspiracy theories and stuff? Or do you want to be someone who is every day discovering the wonderful, magnificent truths about our God? And about what he did for you and how he loves you and what he wants for your life. You got a choice. And when you make that choice, I'm assuming that everybody in the room and online wants to be a discoverer of truth, not a denier of truth. And if you want to, well, the way that's going to happen is you're going to stop fueling actions that increase the chances of you becoming a denier of truth. And you're going to start fueling actions that will increase the possibility for you becoming a discoverer of truth. I am so glad that God doesn't hide the hard parts from us, where we didn't just see Peter as perfect. He shows us the dark side, the times of failure. Because I got times of failure. I don't know about you. Anybody else got times of failure? But he gives us a pattern. He shows us how we can avoid being those deniers of truth. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for not hiding from us Peter's struggle here so that we can learn from it, so that we can understand how he was subject to falling, failure. Help us not to think we are beyond it. Lord, we're proud people. Lord, we don't pray enough. Lord, we have great plans. And Lord, we hang out in the wrong places more than the right places sometimes. Forgive us for that and help us to tune in to where you're taking us. Help us to walk humbly, prayerfully,